The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov.
Chodesh Tov to you.
And also Ramadan Mubarak to our Muslim listeners. They will be starting the holy month of Ramadan today. The new moon apparently has been sighted. There's certainly celebrations, decorations up in Jerusalem to celebrate the fasting holy month of Ramadan. Just something else that caught my attention, just a little snippet before we get into the main things. There is going to be a new movie to be made about Golda Meir in the Yom Kippur War. And the person who's going to be playing the role of Golda Meir is no less than Dame Helen Mirren.
Yeah,
and I think that that's going to be a movie worth watching.
Absolutely.
I mean, she's a fantastic actress. I mean, the story about Yom Kippur and Golda Meir's role in the Yom Kippur War, for good and for bad, I think will be fascinating.
I think so too. I think it'll be absolutely brilliant. And I have no doubt with Helen Mirren that it'll be accurately portrayed in terms of Golda Meir. So I think that'll be really brilliant.
I agree. I think it'll be worth looking out for.
Big story, of course, that the Mossad has been working to prevent Iran from kidnapping Israelis abroad. What's going on with this? Is this linked to the weekend's attack? Is this independent of it? What's happening?
Well, I mean, the news is almost exclusively about Iran at the moment. Not only this story about Israelis potentially being kidnapped abroad, but of course the rolling story that we discussed yesterday in some length about the attack that took place at the Natanz nuclear reactor site, and the latest information coming out suggesting that the attack wasn't in fact a cyber attack as originally reported, but potentially that somebody actually turned up there to place an explosive device at the site. I think we're going to hear a lot more about that. But this new story about Iranian intelligence trying to lure Israelis who are abroad to harm, to try to abduct them, has broken. And in fact, there was a particular story that came out suggesting that an individual Israeli businessman had actually left his hotel and was on his way to meet some operative who had been set up to try to abduct him, when the Mossad swooped in, took him away from going to that meeting, took him off to the Israeli embassy in that local city, wherever it was. We're not told exactly where it was. And it is claimed that in so doing, they prevented what could have been quite a serious incident and some harm that could have come to an individual and indeed to Israel as a nation in terms of the work that it's doing against Iran. So that's quite a fascinating story. It seems as if though Iran is using fictitious social media profiles in order to try to contact Israelis who travel abroad quite frequently, mostly for business. Of course, it's a kind of a honey pot kind of attack that's being laid out, where pictures of attractive women are being used to entice Israelis on the pretext of romantic meetings. And apparently the places that they're focusing on to try to carry these things out with countries like Turkey, the Gulf states where Israelis are now, frequent visitors, countries in Central Asia, Europe, and even in Africa. And so this is now apparently the latest kind of exercise that Iran is trying to embark upon. Is it in response to the weekend's activities? Not only. I mean, I don't know. I think that these attempts have already been set up for some time, and that this is an ongoing attempt to revenge so many different activities. If we start to tot up the list of actions that have been taken against Iran, and particularly against Iran's nuclear program, then we will see that there's a massive debt that Iran supposedly has to try to somehow recoup, a massive revenge plot that has to be carried out in order really to avenge all of those actions that Israel has been involved in. I mean, we can even roll back to that Mossad operation which stole all of those files from the storeroom in Tehran regarding Iran's nuclear program. I mean, to be fair, that really hasn't been properly avenged in Iranian terms, not to speak of the numerous scientists, nuclear scientists who've mysteriously met their deaths in different ways, not to speak of, you know, the big attacks that have been carried out. None of those have really had the sort of revenge that Iran would like to see. And so I think that this honeypot type operation that they're trying to launch is, I think, on a small scale and is not really what they would like to see in terms of carrying out that event. So the revenge that they would like to carry out. What's fascinating for me is how the Mossad are tracking this. And of course, we don't know exactly, but obviously they're lurking around in cyberspace, watching these communications from a distance and swooping in at the right moment. How scary is that to think about, you know, how much information they've got access to and what they are looking out for, what they're actually managing to get hold of from behind the scenes in order to be there at that moment, to be ready for that man to leave his hotel, then to grab hold of him and say, you're not going to your meeting, but you're coming with us. I could just imagine the scene. That could be a movie in itself.
It's just phenomenal. I mean, so many aspects of this. A is just how stupid men are, as a rule.
I agree.
I mean, post a photo on Facebook of some woman and, well, that's it, you know, security compromise. Now you can be kidnapped. I mean, just that, like, are we born stupid as men? It's just phenomenal.
Howard, I think you and I think we should have this discussion offline if you don't mind. I agree with you. And I think that's
I don't know. I mean, I know that's not what I should be taking out of this conversation. I know it's got nothing to do with that. But for me, it really, really does. Just like, honestly, are we stupid?
Yes.
I'd love our listeners' thoughts on that. 34519.
I'm not sure if I want to hear this, actually.
I just think, you know, it's like it's not even sophisticated. You know, show a picture of a pretty girl, and that's the end of it. It's bizarre. You know, you can breach any form of security just like that. It's very, very, to me, it's just very, very odd. So, I mean, that's an important story. Another one is Defense Minister Benny Gantz wishes to open an investigation into leakage of classified information. Which information is he referring to?
Well, he's not. He was quite careful in the statement that he made. And of course, this is all linked again to events in recent days, weeks and months, because in his statement, he said, I'm not talking about a specific operation, but I do want to talk about what he calls the chatter issue. Okay, and clearly there is a link to what came out over the weekend and indeed other events as well. There are now reports that, you know, the link with the Mossad to the operation that was carried out at Natanz might come back to an Israeli source, that in fact this information might well have been leaked by an Israeli source, and Benny Gantz has been visibly annoyed by all of this, and he says that, you know, it's a serious issue, and he thinks that we can't accept babbling and you know, these little winks that are going around linking them to so-called Western sources. He thinks it harms our troops, our security, the interests of the State of Israel, and he feels that there should be a thorough investigation. He's already turned to the Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit to request that he opens an investigation into this. He's also approached the heads of the Shin Bet and the Mossad, as well as the IDF's information department, to open an investigation into these leaks. What I would like to say to Benny Gantz is that before we open investigations into individuals further down the chain about who's leaking information, perhaps we should ask whether the Prime Minister should be making the statements that he has been making in recent weeks, months and years about some of Israel's security operations, because I think that that sets the tone for what people further down the chain are willing to say, willing to you know, put their necks on the line in terms of making statements about things that are going on. And I don't know that we really have a uniform policy. I mean, it's clear to the operatives in the field, to the people who are working on the desks, to the workers lower down the chain, that they should not be saying anything. That, you know, that policy is set out very, very clearly. But when the prime minister or senior members of government, the head of the IDF, the chief of general staff, make statements which allude to Israeli involvement in some of these operations, I think it harms the message that we're trying to send down to the troops on the ground. And I just love the statement that was used in World War II about chatter and how it could harm things. It went along the lines of loose lips sink ships.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
We've now amended that to loose tweets sink fleets. So, I think that we need to revisit the entire program of the security of information and the extent to which Israel is prepared to admit to its role in various things. I mean, you know, sometimes it's clear that Israel seems to have the main interest in seeing events like what we saw at Natanz yesterday, the day before. But I'm not sure that we necessarily need to visibly, verbally own up to it or even allude to our involvement in it.
Yeah, there's definitely been a shift. There's no doubt in my mind. You and I have spoken about this, that it's definitely much more openness. And maybe that's what's confusing people, because there is some information that is being released and spoken about, but others isn't. And maybe with this change has come this confusion.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely confusion, and the confusion really comes from people pursuing their own personal agendas. You know, there is no doubt that the Prime Minister was immensely proud to present the whole array of files that were stolen from the Iranian secret location in Iran in Tehran about the nuclear program. And when I was watching this presentation on TV and all the files that were presented and the talk about how this operation was launched, as much as I was fascinated and mega impressed by how the Mossad could really have carried it out, because I mean it really was impressive, I was also wondering to myself whether this should really be presented on TV. Shouldn't we just quietly go about our business without necessarily having to make a song and dance about it? I just wondered at that time whether this was the right thing to do. And I just wondered to what extent the Prime Minister wanted to, you know, present himself to try to strengthen his own personal situation, both in Israel and abroad, by having this massive presentation of a secret operation that was carried out. I'm not sure that that's the right approach. Mm-hmm. That's my personal view. And of course, now I'm very eager to hear what the listeners might have to say about that.
Well, you definitely don't want to hear what they have to say about this other conversation.
No, I knew I didn't.
Rene really says, yes, you are born stupid for sure. And Carol Zimmerman quotes something in Yiddish that I definitely cannot be reading on on radio. And then someone, Yaya says, it sounds like Anthony's using the opportunity to deflect and portray his personal anti-Netanyahu views. Well, I'm not sure that you are doing that, but that aside, I don't even want to let you respond to it, Anthony, because I do want to ask you about Memorial Day for the soldiers that begins tonight.
Yeah, so just a brief reference to it. We'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow. But just to remind listeners and just to say that, you know, we do begin Yom HaZikaron L'Chalalei Shoah. Yom HaZikaron L'Chalalei Tzal, which begins this evening, the Memorial Day to fallen soldiers and to fallen victims of terror. That begins with a siren this evening at 8 p.m. Israeli time, a minute silence. Candles will be lit in memory of those who have fallen. We'll talk quite a lot more about the details tomorrow, but hopefully even people who are not in Israel will join us for that minute silence. It's 7 o'clock in South Africa, 8 o'clock in Israel. People will join in lighting a memorial candle just to remember those who have given their lives, made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of Israel and in defense of the Jewish people, because I think that it goes just further than simply defending the land of Israel and the country, the people who live here. I think it goes further than that. I think it really extends to Jews living outside of Israel I think that our army has a certain feeling of responsibility towards Jews around the world. We've seen that on more than one occasion up until now in terms of operations, security operations, military operations that have been carried out in defense of people who are not Israelis but nevertheless Jews. And hopefully people will join us this evening as we go into a very, very somber mood in memory of those who have fallen in military operations, have fallen in terror activities, and that will then roll into Yom Ha'atzmaut, which is, of course, a joyous occasion, the contrast that we experience every year at this time, rolling from the sadness into the joy and celebration of having our own independent Jewish state.
Incredibly moving 24 hours, or in fact 48 hours are coming up. It is just about to go 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always, and we'll of course catch you tomorrow morning.